Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This morning I am bringing a message concerning the pastor. And you say, well, Pastor, are you preaching to yourself this morning? Well, somewhat. But I believe that in light of the fact that we have given our resignation notice for the end of August, that I need to prepare the church to seek a man of God. And that we know what type of man of God the Bible talks about. And I believe that that is so important in the day and age that we live, and that we find God's man for this church. Acts chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching, the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look into your word today, that you would prepare our hearts to seek the man of God that you would have to carry on this ministry. Lord, I have prayed so often that you would send a man even with greater abilities than I have, greater strength, greater energy, greater love for your people, and Father, greater ability to reach the lost. Lord, I pray that we might see those things in the days ahead, not for our glory, but for your glory, and that we would accomplish those things that would please you and bring honor to your name. Lord, we would pray today as well that you might certainly work in the ministry of the boards, and that you might bless that work in Cambodia, those that are there carrying that ministry on today. And we do pray for our other missionaries, Father, that are faithfully serving you. And we would think of the Steinbarts in their ministry, learning language. Lord, we just pray that you'd give them great insights into the language and ability to express it, and that you might give them fruit amongst those believers who are refugees from other lands there in Kenya. And Lord, we are so thankful for what all of our missionaries are doing for you. We thank you so much for Kimberly and for what she has accomplished in the 2 years that she's been in Peru, and what you have done in her life. And Father, for the fruit that will yet be borne by the Peruvian people. Father, I pray that they might learn to walk in your ways and to carry on the work. And Father, we just think of the Lovells as well, as they have spent many years in laboring there in Peru. Oh God, I pray that you might help the national people to be faithful to you, and that there would be strong churches there in Peru until you come. Father, we pray as well that you would guide Kimberly as she looks forward to future service here in the States, that your will would be accomplished there as well. Father, we would pray for David and Jennifer and camp ministry this morning, And Father, we ask for your direction in their lives, and that you might help them and strengthen them. Father, we are just so glad for answers to prayer for different individuals here this morning. And Lord, we ask that you might continue to bless each of our lives, that we might be fruitful for you, and that we might certainly be a people that praises your name and worships you faithfully. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading a book this week, and the title of the article is "The Perfect Preacher Has Been Found." So just so you know it, the perfect preacher has already been found, okay? After hundreds of years, a model preacher has been found to suit everyone. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. He condemns sin but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of work, from preaching to custodial service. He makes $60 a week, wears good clothes, buys good books regularly, and has a nice family, drives a good car, and gives $30 a week to the church. He also stands ready to contribute to every good work that comes along. He is 25 years old and has been in the ministry for 30 years. He is tall and short, thin and heavy set, in addition to being handsome. He has one brown eye and one blue, hair is parted in the middle, left side dark, straight and straight, right side brown and wavy. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers and spends all of his time with older folks. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all his time in evangelizing the unchurched, and is never out of the office. Okay. Well, it's been said that there's no perfect pastor and there's no perfect people. And it's been said you shouldn't join a church if you think that it's perfect, because it won't be perfect after you come. Because we're not a perfect people. But I want us to talk seriously this morning about preparation to calling a pastor and some things in relationship to that. I believe it's important for us to know what the Bible says concerning a pastor. A pastor wears actually five caps. He is what the Bible calls a pastor or a shepherd. He is also a teacher, a preacher, a bishop, or an overseer, and an elder. Over the next five Sundays, we'll look at each one of those caps that a pastor wears as an officer in the local church, and your relationship to that pastor. It is important that you acknowledge your relationship to the new pastor and each of his responsibilities once he is called as a new pastor of Berean Baptist Church. Folks, I want to say one thing, that I am 100% thankful for the way that you have received us and stood by us in the nearly 12 years of ministry that we've had here at Berean Baptist Church. I consider it a rare privilege, and if you treat the next pastor that way, I'll guarantee you, God will bless. Certainly, it must never be forgotten, in all of the pastor's responsibilities and the congregation's relationship, that you must recognize the headship of Jesus Christ of this church. It is only when we recognize what the Lord desires for us over any personal expectations that we will be able to have a fruitful ministry at Berean Baptist Church. Our church life is not for our glory, it is for the glory of the Lord. Thus, in each of the five messages, we'll examine our hearts in relationship to the Lord, the pastor, and the members of Berean Baptist Church and those that attend. The English word for pastor comes from the original Bible word, which talks about a herder in Dutch, one who is a shepherd. The only way we will know what a true pastor is to examine what God's word tells us about a shepherd or a pastor. First of all, I want us to talk about our relationship to the Lord as your shepherd. Can you think of any place in the Bible where it talks about the Lord as a shepherd in the Old Testament? Where is it found? What book? Psalm. Okay, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24. Okay? And so I want us to just meditate on those things for just a minute. If you'll turn back there to Psalm 22, 23, and 24, I want us to talk about, first of all, Psalm 22. It is an exact message 1,000 years before Jesus Christ ever went to the cross. It explains all the things that happened to Jesus Christ on that cross for our sins, how he sacrificed himself. He became our substitute sin bearer, and how that he also would come forth from the grave and that he would be victorious. And so that is a mirror of what we find back in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we find there it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There the good shepherd is found in Psalm 22, the one who would give himself. When we talk about a shepherd, we talk about one who gives of himself. He gives his lifeblood, as it were, for the sheep, for their good. Certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ has done so much for us. I remember being a pastor, a young pastor, in South Dakota. But the Lord got a hold of my heart when we left South Dakota in a pretty magnificent way, when he chose to allow our daughter to go through 18 months of cancer. And what came home to me as I begged God to explain what he had in mind for us, as I sat in a family room on my knees praying, it all came back to the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did. God gave his only begotten Son, one of a kind. Jesus on that cross, he said, I thirst. He took the penalty of our sins upon himself entirely, the sins of the whole world to be exact. Folks, there is no greater love than that. And then Jesus was forsaken of his Father, the dearest relationship that he had, that he might bear our sins. Does the Good Shepherd touch your heart this morning? I tell you what, he gripped my heart like I had never been gripped when I came to that realization of how much Jesus Christ had done for me. And the Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. It's that which holds our life together. And it goes back to this fact that he is the good shepherd. And how do we relate to him when he has done so much for us? After all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely? Folks, we're saved. We need to surrender to that one who loved us enough to die for us. We need to die to ourselves. We need to allow him to be in complete control. We need to surrender, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it's for the service of the Lord. I remember a Bible study for new converts, and it was called Saved to Serve. Folks, this goes back to the Good Shepherd. the one who gave his all. It's not too much for us to give our all to him. Psalm 23. As you go through Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My, the things that we want not for, and the contentment that we ought to have when we are with the great personal shepherd. It's called the Great Shepherd Psalm. But I believe it's the personal shepherd psalm. And I believe as you look at it here as a personal shepherd, you look at, you just get the pronouns, I, me, my, all through Psalm 23, and you'll notice that Jesus wants to be involved in your life personally. And folks, the shepherd cares for you from the moment of salvation all the way through the whole eternity. Now, I know we can't wrap our heads around eternity. We're time-bound people. But I tell you what, he's caring for us all the way. The journey is with him completely. We are to follow the shepherd where he leads us, sometimes in the valley, sometimes on the mountaintop. He saves us, he strengthens us, he shelters us, he stabilizes us, he secures us as we walk with him and follow him. Psalm 24, the shepherd is called the King of Glory. He is the sovereign shepherd. He is the glorious chief shepherd. It relates to back there in John chapter 10 and verse 16, and other sheep have I which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear me in the voice, hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. God's still bringing all people of all nations together that will be saved and someday will be all together in glory with the King of Glory. Folks, doesn't that make you want to worship? We better get in practice praising his name, adoring him, because we're going to be doing that all eternity. Bible says here in Psalm 24, we are to worship in the spirit of holiness with clean hands and a pure heart. We're to worship in truth, not with a lifted up soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We're to worship in thankfulness for his salvation and his righteousness. We're to worship in submission to his rule as the King of Glory. And so, folks, I believe we have a responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I came to this church, my wife and I recognized there were some dear people here that loved the Lord. If you want a man of God, you make sure he knows that you love the good shepherd, that you love the personal shepherd, and that you're walking and worshiping the great shepherd, the King of Shepherds, the chief shepherd. Now I want to talk about the pastor's responsibility as your under-shepherd. And I believe that the pastor's responsibility is to fulfill his calling. He is a man who is gifted by God for the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 16, that he might equip the believers. I'd like to spend about another message on that, but we have a shortness of time today. The pastor, I believe, as we go back to Acts chapter 20, and I know I'm skipping around a little bit here, but I believe this is important for us. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 and 28, we find there that the pastor, first of all, is one who leads. And Paul says that in his ministry, he had not shunned to declare unto them all the counsel of God. In other words, he led, by the word of God. I believe a good pastor will lead, but he leads by the word of God and by his example. Did you hear that, folks? He leads by the word of God and by his example. When you're looking for a man of God, make sure that he leads by the word of God and by his example. I believe also, it says in verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples of the flock. Certainly, a pastor is one who leads by the word and by example. He does not beat the flock, but he's out there in the forefront. A shepherd goes before the sheep. He doesn't follow the sheep. It is also by stewardship. Acts 20, verse 28 says that he is the one who has been purchased the church by his own blood. Matthew 16, 18 says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter is that little rock in the original language. When he talks about that rock, he's talking about the boulder, Jesus Christ. He's the big rock. He says, I will build my church. First of all, Christ owns the church. This is his church, my church. And then he builds that church. And then he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He preserves the church. And a good pastor will realize that the church belongs to Jesus Christ, and that he is accountable to the Lord, first of all, even above any people's expectations or perceptions, or even his own lens of how he perceives himself and his reputation. And so I would say this morning, a good pastor will lead, but a good flock will follow his leading. Number two, the pastor feeds through the word. It says that in verse 28 that he was to feed the church of God. I believe a pastor feeds the church by building spiritual believers. He motivates through the love of Christ that results in obedience to the word. It begins with surrender to the will of God. He uses the word to practically guide believers in how to think and how to live and how to glorify the Lord. He marks the lines of holiness and biblical separation. He matures wise believers through proper Bible interpretation and exhortation, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself what? Approved workman. By a balanced diet, he teaches sound doctrine. He reproves of wrong behavior. He restores by correction. He instructs using both the milk and the meat of the word. And he uses the entire Bible without fear or favor of man. I believe also he avoids feeding the flock with junk food. There's a lot of junk food preaching going on today. See a few heads nodding. You know what I mean? There's the corruption of the world. There's the fads, the gimmicks, the cultural relativism, the acceptance of carnality. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, but I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so I believe that after the pastor has fed the word of God, the flock needs to digest the wholesome word of God. And God has given that which is best for us, and we're to eat what he gives to us, whether we like it or not. You know, there's some finicky eaters. There's some people that just kind of pick and choose, like you're going through a smorgasbord line. But God says it's all good, and it's for our best. The pastor cares. Recently, I brought a message on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It speaks about a family relationship, and I believe that is how a pastor reaches out. He reaches out to his people like a family. When I made our statement of resignation, I said one of the things that I treasured was the family relationship in this church. And I believe a good pastor, he will be like a mother to the congregation. He will be like a father to the congregation and like a brother to the congregation. He listens. He observes. He prays. He counsels with biblical solutions. He comes in time of need. He lifts up the hurting, the sorrowing, and the fallen. And he recognizes service for Christ and Christ-like character. Certainly, as a flock, we need to respond to his family concern. The pastor also defends, and I believe we find that down in verses 29 through 31. He warns concerning error and enemies in verse 29. He watches out for a dividing invader in verse 30. He weeds out the roots of sin, apostasy, and wrong alliances in verse 30. He weeps over all that harms and destroys the flock in verse 31. The flock, as the pastor defends, needs to heed his protection. But how about your relationship to the pastor? How do you respond to a pastor? I believe the Bible is very, very specific in those things. We need to take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 7. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Then verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." As a flock, we need to follow faithful leadership. Your respect for his labors. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, they respected Paul's ministry there in Thessalonica. They recognized his love in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. They received the word of God and his loyalty to the word of God. They manifested a readiness to follow Christ's likeness in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul would say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." There's a resolve to work or to serve in a positive manner as a church team. And I believe we need to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Therefore we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace which is given unto me. As a wise, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Certainly, we need to work together as a team. I've tried to emphasize two things in this church. One is we're a family. Number two, we're a team. A team does not compete with one another. They stay on the same team. Amen? That's important. And so, I want to say that we need to be involved in God's work together. Certainly, there's some wrong thinking about church today. We seem to have a separate attitude about church service in our secular work responsibilities. When you have a voluntary army, you take what you can get. The Dutch have an army that's led by a union. They decide when they're going to fight and when they're not. Didn't work out too well one time when we were in Holland. Certainly at church, you can come late, leave early, break promises, procrastinate, but not at work. Volunteers are not paid for service. Workers are paid for labor. That's the way many people think about church, the wrong way. But there's some right thinking about church. The church is a conscripted army under Christ's orders. We did not choose Christ. Christ chose us. You say, where do you get that from, Pastor? Read John 15, 16. Mark that one down. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask in my name, he will give it to you. God says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. That's what Jesus said. That means we've been conscripted. We've been drafted. Our purpose is to bring forth much fruit. We must recognize a higher calling, and only then we will have determination to do the will of God because of what he did for us at the cross. I have already been on a search for a man of God. And I've talked to one. And one said, Pastor, that's a very high calling. I said, that's the kind of man we're looking for. But do we as a flock realize that we have a high calling? That God has asked us to be on his team. He's chosen us. We're not to serve in our own strength, but in his power. And eternal rewards are bigger than a paycheck on any Friday night. Folks, I don't care who you choose. That's your choice. It's a congregation. But I do hope you choose a man of God. I have never voted in a church business meeting. And I'm not sure I'm going to be present when you candidate a man. But let me tell you, when you vote for that man of God, you stand with him like you stood with us, and he'll be all that you expect. And as far as rewards go, serving God has bigger rewards than any Friday night paycheck. Only when we have right thinking about a higher calling will we be motivated to serve the Lord in his church faithfully. Faithfulness is what's required of a steward. In conclusion, looking for a pastor means we must look at three relationships. Your relationship to the Lord as shepherd, your pastor-shepherd relationship to you, your relationship to your shepherd-pastor. If we have these relationships right, we will respond by the following actions. We will focus on the Lord as shepherd first. We will look for the pastor-shepherd that fulfills his calling. And we will be faithful servants in the local church even after he comes. Let's strive to be a church that wants to be more than just surviving, but that wants to thrive for the glory of God. Heavenly Father, we love these folk. They are dear to us. And we know that they are dear to you as blood-bought ones. Oh God, help us to be prayerful. Help us to be discerning. Help us to choose wisely the next man of God. And I pray that you might bless Berean Baptist Church with more fruit, We thank you for the fruit that we have seen, but we anticipate as we follow you that you will give us that remaining fruit that we so desire. In Jesus' name, amen.